praise be unto God and those who prophesied of the grace that would come to us. Let's talk about that grace that has come to us today on the International Gospel Hour. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. We're so glad you've decided to listen to our program today. In a world of challenges, we need God's Word to help us face those challenges. Thank you for joining us in this period of Bible study with our speaker, Jeff Archie, of International Gospel Hour, a broadcast of the Churches of Christ. So let's listen today. Here's Jeff.
Well, greetings, everyone, and thank you for being with us today for our broadcast from the International Gospel Hour. We've been on the air since 1934, the longest-running radio program in Churches of Christ, and one of the top two or three longest weekly religious programs in the history of radio. And we thank you for helping us continue to make history as we bring forth the truths from the past, from God's Word, that is truth, John 17:17. We present them here in the present so that you and I may have a wonderful future if we are obedient to the Word of God. We are appreciative of our Jay Webb, who you will hear from throughout our broadcast, and how blessed again we are for you, our listeners, who desire to pursue truth and to know said truth, as noted from John 8, verse 32, how we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Let us begin by reading Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Again, friends, that's Isaiah the 53rd chapter. What a thrilling prophecy of the Christ. I want to parallel with this a thrilling thought from 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12, that says, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." It was the late Frank Dunn who said in his book, Know Your Bible, If there was a prophet of God that inquired salvation, it would have to be Isaiah, where we find the word 26 times, 7 times in all the other prophets combined. As I consider, friends, the grace that would come, I cannot help but to think of this beautiful text of Isaiah 53. And so today we want to begin a study, as we will look at in our weekly broadcast for the next several weeks, from Isaiah 53. And today, let us embrace the grace that came to us through Jesus Christ. And today, let us see the Christ. Before we enter into our study in Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 1, let's pause and hear a few words from our J. Webb concerning our work at International Gospel Hour.
InternationalGospelHour.com is our website. That's InternationalGospelHour.com. Please peruse our website and see all that is available for you absolutely free. We have a number of biblical resources. You can also listen to our other broadcasts, view our TV program, request our newsletter, and ask for our free Bible study by mail, and so much more. That's our website at InternationalGospelHour.com. Now, let's return to our study.
From Isaiah 53, friends, let's see the Christ. Seeing the Christ, the Messiah. In verse 1, the question, who has believed our report? Now, the word report denotes properly that which is heard or tidings, the message or the news. It refers to the annunciation, the message or communication which had been made respecting the Messiah. I appreciate the writings of the late Albert Barnes with this thought of the word report. Friends, this passage from Isaiah 53 verse 1 is fulfilled, and it refers to the Christ in John 12 verses 37 through 43 that says, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Now, here are two references mentioned in John 12. Our lesson text here in John 12, verse 38, and Isaiah 6 and verse 10 in John 12, verse 40. They refused to believe in light of his power and in light of his presence. Now, this passage of Isaiah 53, verse 1, is also referred in Romans 10, verses 13 through 17, that says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Again, Romans 10, 13 through 17. Now, friends, it is tragic that some will not believe to the point of obeying the gospel, and will not call on the name of the Lord. Now, friends, I want you to think on this. Calling out the name of the Lord is totally different than calling on the name of the Lord. Consider these two passages. What about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21? "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Well, friends, do you suppose calling on the name of the Lord would be doing the will of the Father? Indeed. Here's how Saul understood how to call on the name of the Lord in Acts 22 and verse 16. Saul, who was a believer in the Lord, Saul, who realized he needed to change his life, Ananias told him in Acts 22, 16, Saul, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Friends, a lot of times we don't think that, you mean baptism embraces calling on the name of the Lord? Yes, it does, according to Acts 22, 16. Now, whether or not believing or not accepting, it is a tragic decision, friends. And we do not need to decline obeying God when we see the Christ, the Messiah, the report that we need to believe, the good tidings, the message, the good news. Second, in seeing the Christ, not only do we see the Messiah, but we see his message. We go back to Isaiah 53:1, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, the arm is often used as an emblem of power. Maybe you've heard the phrase of a convicted criminal that has escaped. He is armed and dangerous, or he has robbed something. He is armed and dangerous. Listen to these texts. We go back twice to the book of Isaiah. Once again, Isaiah 33, verse 2, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. How about Isaiah 40, verse 10? Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. There are 15 other texts wherein we see the phrase of God with his stretched out arm. Here, friends, it denotes the omnipotence or the power of God, which would be exhibited through the Messiah as his message. He revealed that authority in his teaching, Matthew 7, 28 and 29. He taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. He revealed that authority from the Father in Matthew 17, 1 through 5. At the end of that affirmation, the statement in verse 5, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Don't hear Moses, don't hear Elijah, hear ye him. Through the gospel, Jesus revealed that authority as he preached the gospel, beginning his labors in Matthew 3 and verse 2, Matthew 4 and verse 17, and that power or authority was given to him in both heaven and earth, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and Matthew 28, 18 and following, when he gave the charge to preach to the gospel to all the nations. The power is in the gospel message, friends, and so we see the Christ as the Messiah with the message. And friends, we need to understand the message of the gospel. May we help you toward that end. You know, we are blessed to offer everything through our broadcast absolutely free. You will not hear us ask for your money. I want to pause here as we're talking about the Messiah and his message as we see the Christ. May we help you see the Christ in your study of God's Word. We have a free Bible correspondence course. Here is our J-Web to tell you more how you can receive that course absolutely free.
Our well-received Bible study course by mail is available to everyone absolutely free. Would you like to try it? All you do is call us toll-free at 855-444-6988. And leave your name, address, and just say home study. That's it. That's all you have to do. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com. Click on the contact tab and leave us the same information, name, address, and type home study in the message box. At your own pace, you can study the Bible in your own home. Again, it's free. Give it a try. And it's from your friends here at International Gospel Hour.
And again, friends, let us send you that free Bible study course by mail as soon as possible. Again, please let us know with your name and address and simply say home study and we'll send that to you. Again, it's absolutely free. Now, let us build on the Messiah to believe. his message that we are to believe as we see the Christ in verse 2 of Isaiah 53. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So let us continue to see the Christ as now the one eternal. The phrase growing up before him as a tender plant, or under the care of God, the eternal plan before time began in Christ. Ephesians 3:10-11 affirms to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. 1 Peter 1, 18-21. In Revelation 13, verse 8, Jesus is affirmed as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Friends, this is a beautiful and it's a fundamental point. It is solid ground. The Messiah and the message were not optional when sin entered into the world. It's not like when sin entered in the world, God stopped, looked down, and said, "Now what have I done? What am I going to do?" Oh no, friends. We are affirmed that in Christ the eternal purpose would be accomplished in Jesus Christ, to where we would know of Christ, of his church. We would know of his blood that would be shed, and he was slain from or before the foundation of the world. Before God said, God knew and God did. Think about that, friends. Before God said, God knew and God did. Christ was the eternal purpose of God. Not only is he the Messiah of whom Isaiah is speaking, not only do we see the message of authority that would come forth from him, but the one eternal, when we look at the power before time began, of the power that God placed in Christ. And friends, when there are those that wish to turn away from Christ, when there are those that will not look upon him as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as the Redeemer, then friends, we are missing salvation left, right, up, and down. When we see the Christ, we see the one eternal. Now let's continue thinking of that tender plant. And a tender plant is cared for. God takes care. The plan is there. But now note, he would come up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Now that even shows greater power, because when you look at dry ground, it's parched, and a parched patch of ground, as in no water. The question is, how could anything spring up? Well, Christ would spring up, if you will, or would come forth in God's time, and a needed time, the needed time. Paul in Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, this thought of a root is brought forth through the prophets of old. We once again go to Isaiah in Isaiah 11 in verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Allow Zechariah in Zechariah 6, verses 12 and 13, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be or shall be yes between them both. Again, Zechariah 6, 12 and 13. Did you notice of the thought of growing up out of his place, like that root out of dry ground? And friends, you cannot help but to look at Zechariah 6, 12 and 13 and know beyond the shadow of a doubt he is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 24, 44 through 47, Jesus looked upon his apostles before his ascension and said to them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Yes, friends, when we see the Christ, not only the one eternal in God's mind and in God's purpose, but the one needed at the proper time when God sent him into this world. And praise be to God, we see the Christ as the one needed, and we need him. But let's also conclude our study today from verse 2, as Christ is the one of simplicity. He has no form or comeliness, verse 2 affirms, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There was nothing physical that would immediately stand out concerning Christ, nothing physically that would attract us. But I want us to consider a couple of other beautiful sections of text, beautiful because of the simplicity of life. Listen to this about Jesus, Philippians 2, 7 and 8. He took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. How thankful we are for the words of that beautiful hymn that says, "Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares." Are we not thankful and grateful to see the Christ as the Messiah with the message, an eternal message from before the beginning, and a message that is needed with simplicity and grace? To God be the glory that we can see the Christ and we can obey Jesus Christ. Friends, how grateful we are to help you in any way possible. We have shared with you our website. We hope you'll go to internationalgospelhour.com, peruse it, reach out to us, and let us know how we can further help you in your study and your search to know more of Jesus. Our Bible correspondence course mentioned earlier, once again, a simple phone call of 855-444-6988, and leave us your name and address and just say home study, and it will come to you. All of this is absolutely free, along with our publication we are offering today, our free publication, Here Is Our J-Web, with how you can receive that free publication, Reason and Revelation.
Our free publication today is Reason and Revelation, a monthly journal courtesy of our friends at apologeticspress.org. International Gospel Hour has secured a limited supply of this awesome publication of apologetics well proven over 40 years. Get your free copy today by calling toll-free at 855-444-6988. Leave your name and address and just say Reason. That's it. Again, that's 855-444-6988. Leave your name and address and just say Reason. You can also send your request through our website at internationalgospelhour.com. Click on the Contact tab and leave us your name and address and put Reason in the message box. We will send you a copy. Again, we have a limited supply, so get yours now.
And friends, may I also add that our free publication through our friends at Apologetics Press, I'd like to encourage you as well, if you have online access, to go to apologeticspress.org. That's apologeticspress.org, and see if the things that they offer there, absolutely free. A number of articles, they do a great job. Friends, we want our broadcast to be profitable for you, one, overall in the study of the Word of God, to help you search, to help you know wherein you stand, and also, friends, to grant unto you some offers and free material that you can study in between our broadcast here from International Gospel Hour. How thankful we are we can open up the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah especially, Isaiah 53, as we spent today seeing the Christ. And as we see the Christ, we see what Jesus will do for you and what He will do for me. How grateful we are for Jesus Christ, and praise be to God. Again, friends, let us help you with all that we can. The International Gospel Hour is brought to you by the oversight of the elders of the West Fayetteville, Tennessee Church of Christ, located at 24 Boones Hill Road in Fayetteville, Tennessee, 37334. And we're grateful to come to you through this avenue of broadcast, and we pray that you'll stay with us and study with us further. Thank you for joining me today here on the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jeff Archie, and friends, until next time, please keep listening.
God be with you till we meet.
Thank you for listening today. May this study prompt your search of God's Word for His will in your life. To assist you in your study or to listen to our other programs, please visit our website at internationalgospelhour.com. To God be the glory.
Be with you.